On today's episode of the Natty Boys Podcast, we get into the recent fights in the NFL with Mike Evans being suspended and known bad boy AJ Green getting kicked out of the Jags game. We discuss the animosity that Deion Sanders seems to harbor towards Tony Romo and Miko Grimes' asinine comments about Derek Carr. We also remember Roy Halladay, who tragically passed away this week. We end the show with a fantasy draft of 30 for 30 films that we want to see made next. Enjoy the show.
You're listening to the Natty Boys Podcast, presented by Mill Iron Sports.
And welcome to the Natty Boys Podcast. Today is Friday, November 10th, and AJ Green is mad.
Yeah, man, AJ Green's got a little fight to him.
Yeah, it's a lot of literally years of frustration building up and released on the Jalen Ramsey there.
I don't even know if it's years of frustration, just this year of frustration. Yeah, like, I think he even came out and said it's got nothing to do with him being frustrated. It was just Jalen Ramsey getting under his skin, but I don't buy that's bullshit, for a second.
No.
That was him taking out the first 8 games of the season.
And I can think maybe once or twice where I've actually seen AJ Green talking trash to people. So it's not like he always is, you know, giving it back and forth, and this time it just got the best of him. This was, like, he's always shook it off. He's always been fine. He's never had an issue. So that was a build-up. And I think Jalen Ramsey probably did something to really piss him off, but I don't think in a normal season, under normal circumstances, AJ Green does anything even close to this.
No.
And it was almost halftime, so I'm outside, like, you know, clean up the yard, and I was like, oh, I'm not going to miss anything. And my wife came out and was like, AJ Green just got in a fight. And I was like, no, he didn't. What? AJ Green?
I think you saw Pac-Man, not AJ Green.
Yeah.
No, but it was weird because the way that it was presented in the game, it was, they were showing the end of the play, and then all of a sudden you see, like, they were zoomed in on, I think it was a running play, probably,
with Mixon. Yeah, people sprint off.
Everyone's sprinting off. They're like, oh, we got some action downfield behind the play. And I was like, holy shit, that's AJ Green throwing punches. Like, what the hell happened?
I know. I'm like, that's number 18. Yeah. What the fuck?
Because usually when you see that stuff happen, it's like an offensive lineman that drives a linebacker 20 yards downfield and they fight and something. So that's what I expect. But then I was like, well, there's no offensive lineman on the Bengals that could run somebody downfield like that. So I knew that wasn't the case. But they've got a history. I know that they were saying the Bengals and Jaguars hadn't played each other in like 3 or 4 years. So like, there shouldn't be like bad blood, like divisional type of games. But there was 2 times ago when they played them. Is when Whitworth got in a fight.
Yeah, he got his eyes gouged.
And that was the first game the Bengals won of the season. I think they started off the season like 0-7 and beat the Jaguars to win, to keep from going. They were either going to go 0-8 or 0-9, but they beat the Jaguars. And I just remember Andrew Whitworth getting in a fight, and you're like, man, if Whitworth is the one that got in a fight, then you know. And you look, and the guy was gouging his eyes. So
yeah.
And there have been other things that have happened between the Bengals and Jaguars. I don't remember specifically, but
best rivalry in football. I've been saying it for years.
As like a side note to this, like throwing a punch at someone that's wearing a helmet might be like one of the dumbest things you can do.
It's idiotic. Especially when you're a receiver that you can't have. Like if you're a linebacker or an offensive lineman or something. I mean, offensive lineman, you need your hands a lot. But like this is your money. It's like when pitchers throw punches. It's like the dumbest thing you can do.
Dumbest thing I've ever seen. HGH Cushing headbutting somebody with his helmet off. Yeah. That was stupid.
Yep.
And I think that's what sparked the random test, too.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a couple years after.
I don't know if you guys are like me, but I was a little bit disappointed by this fight just because anytime I see a wide receiver cornerback fight, I want it to live up to the Andre Johnson and
Cortland Finnegan fight.
That might be the best football fight of all time.
That was the closest thing to a hockey fight in football we've ever seen when he ripped off his helmet and swung at him all in one motion, basically. He's like,
yeah.
Finnegan's got a chin too, man, because he caught him a couple times.
I hate Cortland Finnegan so much.
And Andre Johnson, before that, had the same reputation as AJ Green. He's never been a guy that's, you know, showed that kind of emotion. He's never been a violent guy. No off the field issues that I know of, at least.
Yeah,
and that's I think why AJ Green's not suspended. He's got such a squeaky clean record. He's always been a good ambassador for the game with
just being a good dirty person. Bengals.
Yeah,
yeah, I know.
And I had saw people call him a thug, and it was just like, are you dumb? Like, he's like the most humble guy in the NFL.
Marvin's got no control of that locker room. Well, that one's true.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that.
I just hope his career doesn't take the same path as Johnson's.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Like, I could see just this year kind of
fell off a little bit after.
After 10 years in the league, yep.
Yeah, I could see this year starting to kind of be the downfall, not of Green's career, but I guess Green as a Bengal. I know he's under contract for, what, 3 more years still?
I think it's, because I think he and Andy pretty much run the same the same length, but like, I feel like Andy's a lot easier to opt out of. I think AJ's money is still all there.
Yeah, guaranteed. But Green doesn't seem like the type that would kind of come out and try and force a trade, but he also doesn't seem like the kind of guy that would be getting in fights or I mean he was a little bit vocal in the locker room earlier in the year about how he's being frustrated. So I hope it doesn't trend this way where he is continuing to be pissed off and upset about, you know, how things are going. I mean, he's not getting the touches he used to get, and when he gets open, the ball's not getting to him. Dalton's been missing him pretty bad when they've had shots. So I get where his frustration's coming from, but I hope it's something he can get past and doesn't, you know, look to go elsewhere while he still has a career to salvage.
And I'll be devastated if it does happen. But, I mean, do you blame him?
I hope we get rid of Green today if it's going to devastate Hefe.
But, I mean, do you blame him, honestly, if it's another offseason of nothing and, you know, Marvin signed back to a one-year deal and they don't get any O-linemen to help? I wouldn't blame him.
I wouldn't play for that team.
No.
He's still in his prime. I mean, look at his numbers. He's been a 1,000-yard receiver every year except for the last two so far. And, I mean, I know the year's not over yet, but he's at, like, 500 yards, like, and he's a future Hall of Famer. Like, it's inexcusable.
The bad news for the Bengals is that apparently Jalen Ramsey said something, like, about AJ's family that made him go off. And so now every cornerback's just going to be saying something about AJ's family, and he's going to be fighting people.
Yep.
It's a trend.
I know.
So another big fight between a DB and a wide receiver this weekend that was a little bit different in the fact that the receiver who was also, I guess, the offender didn't get tossed out of the game was between Mike Evans of the Buccaneers and Marshawn Lattimore for
Saints.
The Saints, yeah. Thanks, DB.
You're welcome.
So I didn't see exactly what led to the initial disagreement, what have you, whatever. But at some point, Lattimore was walking away from the Bucs sideline, and Jameis Winston kind of went up and was pointing at him and, like, poked him in the back of the helmet. And so Lattimore turned around and said something to him and went after him. And Evans comes out of nowhere and just destroys him. Like, it was brutal.
Like a kill shot.
Yeah.
It would have been targeting in the NCAA.
Yeah, and he didn't even get tossed for it. He got penalized, but Evans coincidentally got suspended for what he did. And I saw a lot of people saying, how the hell did you suspend Evans and not suspend Green? And I think Green got tossed from that game, so he missed half the game. So
That was already kind of
like
a
time served type of thing.
Right.
And two, if you look at just the acts that they did, Green chokeslammed a guy and punched a guy in the head. So that sounds worse. But, like, if you actually look at it, like, there's much more of a risk of Lattimore getting injured than Ramsey because, I mean, he was going full speed and just blasted him in the back. Mm-hmm. So he could have gotten seriously injured there.
Yeah.
Bob McNair better watch out. The inmates are getting out of control.
Yeah, he's going to have a riot on his hands.
Hope there aren't a lot of spoons from the cafeteria melted down into shivs.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that That was
I
crazy.
Think it really was Jameis that started the whole thing. Yeah, like, it just like him going out into the field and aggravating a cornerback is going to do that.
And he was already out of the game at that point, right? Wasn't Jameis?
Yeah.
Well, he didn't.
Shoulder discomfort, I think, is what they're saying. So he's going to miss a couple games.
Yeah, so it wasn't even like he was, you know, on the field to start it. He was, I think he came from the sideline to deal
and
with
it. And so. They got old Bengal Ryan Fitzpatrick as the backup down there in Tampa Bay. So I don't know if you guys know this. He went to Harvard.
Really?
Ooh, I heard that. Yeah.
Interesting.
He's really smart.
Speaking of crazy Buccaneers, Brent Grimes' wife, Miko Grimes, who is more famous than the football player himself in a lot of aspects.
I thought we were going to talk about Pirates of the Caribbean for a second.
Well, I'm not a big Pirates of the Caribbean fan. Keira Knightley's okay, but yeah. Johnny Depp's a little weird for me sometimes.
First one was all right.
When you know he wants to dress like that in real life, it makes the movies not as enjoyable.
Yeah.
The only thing that I would say about those movies is that I don't think he's acting drunk.
No. He's definitely way out of his mind. 100% is. Yeah.
I didn't really mean for that to go off on a tangent about Pirates of the Caribbean.
It's okay. Now that we're on Stranger Tides. Get it.
Yeah, Miko Grimes was on a radio show. I don't know what radio show it was, but she was doing what she always does and making herself front and center of her husband's football career. And right. She was talking about how she thinks that she was speaking in fact, actually, that the Raiders offensive line was unhappy with Derek Carr's stance on the national anthem protest and the players' unrest. Because he's a proponent of, you know, you stand for the flag and you, you know, respect your country and everything. You know, crazy stuff like that. And and so apparently the offensive line was, you know, pulling a Bush League move of, you know, letting guys through, getting their shots on Derek Carr, which, you know, no professional athlete's going to do that regardless of what they think of their quarterback, because that makes them look bad and makes them look terrible come contract time. But it's an interesting accusation nonetheless.
I just, like, and I guess I'm going to preface this by saying it's in no way me being misogynistic saying that, you know, Brent Grimes needs to tell her to, you know, keep her mouth shut and, you know, stay where she belongs kind of thing. But Brent Grimes needs to tell her to just shut the fuck up, because the shit that she's saying, like, that affects him and it affects his career.
Well, but that's why he's not in Miami anymore.
Right, yeah.
Because didn't she get arrested at a tailgate for, like, trying to fight cops or something?
I forget what the situation was, but I know she's got a history of just saying the most, like, absurd shit. And it's like, your husband is trying to work for a living in this league, and you're just killing his reputation. Like, nobody's going to want to be, you know, a teammate of his or a coach or an owner of his if... You know, if you're going to act like this and you're going to call out people in those positions, like it's a bad look for him. Well, I don't think she's building a brand off of it either. I think she's just being an idiot.
Yeah. So I think this past weekend, Marshall Newhouse kind of blew a hole right in her theory, because he picked up the ball. He's one of the offensive linemen for the Raiders. And when he picked up a fumble and started running with it, none of the offensive linemen blocked for him.
No.
That play was hilarious. He did like a spin move in the air.
Yeah.
Yeah. You could tell he was so excited too to be running with the ball. And as soon as he was going up in the air, you could tell like he was having that Ricky Bobby dialogue in his head, like, I'm flipping through the air. This is not good.
Yeah. It was the classic fat guy hitting the ground too. You could just feel him die inside when he hit the ground.
Yeah.
It was like, oh.
At first, I didn't see like how the ball got loose, but he just was not protecting it at all when he went into the air, and he kind of just flipped it backwards. Yeah.
Okay. I don't even think anyone knocked it out. I think he just flew out as he was spinning.
Yeah. I like that. He picks it up. He's like, I'm fucking taking this to the house.
Yeah.
You know, he was so excited, too. He's like, oh, shit, here's my time. And then he's like, nope.
Yep.
None.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think that these comments are anywhere close to true. Most of the time in the locker room, the offensive line is going to have the quarterback's back, even if he is, you know, a Bible thumper. I don't think that really matters that much in this case. And I don't think there's any merit to her claim. She seems to run her mouth a lot about stuff that she really doesn't have any idea about.
Right.
Yeah. I think she called Kaepernick getting signed earlier this week, so we'll see if that happens. Moving on to more people that were running their mouth this week. Deion Sanders and Tony Romo got into a little spat after Romo kind of made a joke about Deion not being the greatest tackler out there, which, I mean, is the truth.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that Deion, I don't know the exact quote, but I think he said at some point in his career, like, I'm not paid to tackle, which is false because you are as a defensive back. Like, you have to make tackles. But it's no secret that Deion didn't like to hit people. And
he got pretty butthurt about some off-the-cuff joke that Romo made.
Yeah. Which Romo probably thought, oh, this will be funny. This is kind of a jab at a fellow cowboy. And nothing of it. And then, I mean, Deion killed a fly with a hammer on that one. It was like, in his comments were, I've got a gold jacket that I didn't buy.
Yeah.
Des Bryant says hi.
Dak says hi and bye. And he said, how many interceptions did he have? He had, like, what, 19 in 2012?
Yeah. And it's like, if he would have said, you know, like, I have a gold jacket that I didn't buy and left it at that, it would have been no big deal. But then he started getting personal about Dak stealing his job.
Yeah.
And then, you know, how he was terrible, that had that terrible season. And I mean, Deion looked bad in this whole thing.
Yeah, and he said something along the lines of, you know, we both work for CVS. You know, I even came and shook your hand. I tried to let it go at that, but you keep coming at me, so I can't. He said, his quote was, I try to take the high road, but I don't know the address. Yeah. So it's like, all right, Deion. Yeah,
he said, I mean, that when he started personally attacking Romo, he said, 10 years as a starter, you're 2-4 in the playoffs. You ain't won nothing.
Right, yeah.
He started talking about interceptions. He's like, you had 19 in 2012. It's like Deion went and looked up things to personally say about Romo.
Yep.
That shows like a level of spite that comes along with having a big ego. Mm-hmm. So I'm not really surprised that Deion is like that, because you've known his whole career that he's got a large ego.
Yeah. I thought it was interesting, too, that Michael Irvin came out after what Deion said and basically said the same thing we're saying, where Deion kind of took it too personal, like Tony didn't mean anything by it, and he said he didn't like what Deion said, which I think that's kind of telling for a guy like Irvin to come out and say that, just because, those are...
Seems like Michael Irvin and Deion are kind of on the same page when it comes to trash talking like that.
Right, exactly. But,
I'm Team Romo. I like Tony Romo.
I do, too.
No matter what.
He's growing on me more and more.
I liked him when he was with the Cowboys. I just always thought it was funny to give him a hard time and give our friend Bone a hard time about Romo. I've always liked Romo.
It was just funny because he was always hurt, and he seemed like one of those dudes that was always such an old guy. Like, even
that year was supposed to be his year. Every year was supposed to be his year, and then something would happen.
Tannehill's
and the little back
Romo.
Injury and the God, it's it. It was just easy to, like you said, joke with our buddy Bone about it.
So I think it was pretty well known that back in the day, Michael Irvin, he had some problems with controlled substances, cocaine and other stuff. Another guy that recently had the same similar issues is Josh Gordon, who was reinstated by the NFL to the Cleveland Browns. I don't necessarily know that he'll play a game for the Browns, but he is eligible, I guess, now again to play.
December 3rd is when he's eligible to be active.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So if you guys need a fantasy wire pickup for your playoff push, look at Josh Gordon. He's going to have all kinds of talented quarterbacks thrown to him there in Cleveland.
Coke boy, baby. And that's the thing, is it's been like he's the savior of the franchise all of a sudden now on Browns Twitter, and it's like, who's throwing to him? Like,
in a year that they're already, like, I think they're mathematically eliminated from the playoffs almost.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no saving the Browns. But I found some of his comments interesting, saying, I mean, obviously he has to say, you know, I need to change and I'm not going to do this anymore. But, I mean, he pretty much came out and said that before every single Browns game, he was either drinking or smoking pot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Those are pretty telling about your time in the NFL. I mean, if you're having these issues, you obviously need to do something to get your life together, and I don't necessarily know that Gordon took those steps to do it.
That's dangerous, too. I mean, I know that there's, you know, there's some theories that if he was just taking the edge off for nerves or something like that, but, I mean, you're put, granted, he's a receiver, so it's not as dangerous, I guess, but depending on what position you're playing, you're putting other people's lives at risk if you're whacked out of your mind on something.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. In this instance, yeah, he's probably putting his own life at risk. And, I mean, if he's drunk, I'm not, this is, you know, going on a medical tangent, but if he's drunk and then he gets, sustains a cut, or if he has to have some sort of emergency, like surgery because of an injury, like, and your blood's thin because of that alcohol and stuff, like, you're done. Like, that's serious business. Like, that's not, not something to mess around with. So, the pot, probably not as big of a deal. That probably just brought him back to a baseline of what a normal human being would be at. Just
chugging Gatorade on the sideline.
Yeah. I mean, a little cotton mouth isn't going to cause any problems, but.
Whoa, that's problematic.
Yeah.
I'd be interested to see if he is a decent receiver sober, because he's never played sober, it doesn't sound like. Yeah. So, what if he sucks?
I mean, he's really going to have to figure out his patterns, his route trees, because I get the sense that maybe his flag routes were more just streaks that he was trailing off towards the end. So, you never know. I don't know. He might have to adjust in that way, which could be a big learning curve for him.
He was popping an upper right in the middle of his route and just like, whoop, and the ball would hit him. Ooh, what's up?
I feel like if you're drinking before a game, that's a risky move, because especially once you break the seal, you're going to be pissing like every 5-10 minutes. Like, that's got to suck, unless he's just pissing his pants, maybe.
Yeah. Browns always wear white pants, so wouldn't
seem
much.
We've been hearing about Josh Gordon being, I mean, he's been suspended for like 3 years now, but he's only 26 years old. So, and he doesn't have the wear and tear from 3 years in the NFL on his body. I wouldn't put it past him to still have a decent career from this point on if he can straighten himself out.
He'll end up being a stud for the Steelers or something. Watch.
Yeah, exactly.
They could use a receiver right now.
That loves pot.
Yeah. Perfect fit.
Speaking of tall, thin men that love being jacked up on drugs, Lamar Odom.
Poor guy.
He just can't get out of his own way. If he's not chugging gummy bears and having his kidney shut down on him, he's passing out in clubs.
The Kardashians killed him.
Yeah,
like he was a good basketball player that was only addicted to candy before he met Khloe Kardashian, and now he's taking like sex drugs and going into comas.
Yeah, the last time he had an instance like this, he was passed out at the Bunny Ranch in Reno, wasn't it?
Yeah.
He had OD'd on coke or something, or something, ecstasy, I don't know what. Can you OD?
He had been taking some sort of weird stimulant for sex. Like, that's what it was for, specifically. Yeah. That, like, it's like, you're how old and you need to stimulate yourself for sex? It's got to be the Kardashian curse.
Yep. They were the little 2-packs of pills you buy at truck stops.
Like the little, nice.
Horny goat weed. Yeah.
As being a Lakers fan, he is in my heart because of the runs that he had with Kobe and a couple championships. But man, the guy really needs to get his life together. I thought that the 2 years ago when he OD'd and when was in the hospital, I thought maybe that would be a little eye opening, because I'm pretty sure he lost some brain function. And like, if that doesn't open your eyes to see that you're living a life that needs to change, then I don't really know what will. And I have a feeling that this is going to end sadly here before he turns 45, unfortunately for him. It kind of reminds me, going back to Josh Gordon a little bit, Ron Artest, who was also a Laker, has come out saying that, like, during half times when he was on the Bulls, he would, like, run out to the liquor store, like, during halftime of a basketball game. It's like, how do you do that?
Yeah.
You know, he said sometimes he would send, like, a runner for the team out, but other times he he would go get it himself. Like, how do you have enough time to do that and be drunk, like, in a basketball game?
Why don't running you just to pack, the liquor store, like, does he have, like, uniform on and everything still, I assume?
See, that's what I imagine. Like, I imagine him not being smart enough to change into, like, street clothes before he goes and gets a fifth of Jack.
And why wouldn't he just pack it for before the game?
He doesn't
get
plan.
Fresh.
He's always drunk. He's not planning.
I was gonna say every night he's like, all right, this is the night I'm not gonna get drunk at halftime. I'm not even gonna bring any liquor with me. I'm good.
And then he realizes that he's playing on a shitty post Michael Jordan Bulls team, and he needs it.
Yep, he goes straight.
Nobody believed that college intern that went out and got it for him when he was writing his paper about it.
Yeah, Lamar Odom, man, get your life together. He was seen, like, slumped over in the club. And I think, Mac, you said that his agent said that it was from, like, an extreme workout.
Yeah, he said he was dehydrated from an intense workout, and it was very hot in the club, and his body just was exhausted.
Yeah, so stop working out, man. Yeah. Just, like, take care of yourself. I've literally never been slumped over, passed out in the club, and I don't work out a day in my life right now, so.
I don't think I could say the same for myself. Well, what's a club?
Not bar.
Okay,
club.
Bar, okay.
We're saying club.
We're saying different. Okay. We're going to get into semantics.
Oh, there is a difference? Okay.
Yeah.
Speaking of future bad boy Lakers, LiAngelo found himself in some trouble.
He's in China. Comment? It doesn't count.
I mean, we're a pretty big importer of Chinese goods, whether that be electronics or clothing or crime. So I think it counts, man. I think it counts. And honestly, this to me just stinks of a plot to get the Big Baller Brand some more street cred.
Well, they did announce earlier in the week that the Big Baller Brand was going to expand into China. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Weren't they going to do like a pop-up store while they were over there or something? But now, I mean, if LiAngelo's stuck over there, he could just be the ambassador for Big Baller Brand in China. And China's nowhere to get in trouble. Like, that's not...
No.
He could legit be the forgotten ball brother. Yeah. Like, we joke about it, but he could legitimately, like, whatever happened to LiAngelo?
Yeah.
He's still dead. In jail over in China.
He's breaking rocks in a Chinese prison.
Yeah.
So it was him and two other members of the UCLA basketball team that got arrested. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, if these charges actually stick, they're saying that he could be 3 to 10 years in jail over there. Like, I don't think it'll actually come to that. I don't even know that he'll do any time over in China. Yeah. But it's still the U.S., I think, attorney general or whatever actually said, you know, if you need help with this diplomatic matter, we will help you out.
Yeah.
We'll talk to China for you. And I can't wait till Donald Trump gets a hold of that.
Yeah.
He's over there right now. Oh, could you imagine? I'll just fly back with him.
Yeah.
Could you imagine Donald Trump and LeVar Ball teaming up?
Oh, my gosh.
Ooh.
That just screams reality television show.
2020 election's coming up.
Ooh, Ball Trump?
Yep.
If they're not busy.
Trump Ball.
They're not busy in a tag team title match at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
I still think that's happening. He's going to be involved with WrestleMania somehow.
So what did they get caught stealing? It was Louis Vuitton? Is that where they were?
Yeah, so there's a Louis Vuitton place right next to their hotel, and they were saying that it was, I think, was it a pair of sunglasses or was it a bag there?
I don't know what it was.
I don't know.
I think I read it was sunglasses that they took from there. And all three of the guys, like, cooperated with police. You know, it was never confrontational. It wasn't a confrontational matter that, you know, they cooperated. Everybody cooperated on all sides. And I saw, like, LeVar is not there with him in China. And people were asking LeVar, you know, like, what do you think about this? And he kind of just said, details are still coming out. We don't really know what's going on over there. I'm sure it'll be handled, you know, in the correct manner. So he doesn't seem worried at all about him not being able to come back to the States or being in jail over there. So
that was probably the first time he heard of it when somebody asked him about it. He's so focused on Lonzo right now. He's like, oh, shit, LiAngelo, he was in China? What happened?
I have another son? What?
Yeah. In some sad news that came out earlier this week, the former great pitcher. He's well known in Cincinnati circles as the guy who threw a perfect game against the Reds after they ended their long playoff drought a couple of years. Actually, it's more long time ago now. It didn't seem like it was that long ago. Roy Halladay was flying his private plane over the Gulf of Mexico off the shore of Florida, and unfortunately, the plane crashed, and he was the casualty of the plane. I feel like it's just because they stick out in your mind, but there have been a couple. I think they said this is the fourth Major League Baseball player to die in a plane crash in the last, like, however many years, like 38 or 60. I forget what it was, but
so
Roberto Clemente.
Okay.
There was one in New York not too long ago.
There's Daryl Kyle.
Yeah, so we had Corey Lytle, Roberto Clemente, Roy Halladay, and I don't know who the other, I don't know if it's three or four guys. Maybe it was three. But it just seems like it sticks out. You don't hear this happening in other sports or really in any other profession. I guess maybe you got a lot of money, you got a lot of time during the winter with hobbies and stuff. You can get your pilot's license. The plane that he was on, the guy that designed the plane and the guy that, I don't know, I guess you get credit for designing a plane. He actually died in a plane crash in that same type of model plane earlier this year or last year. So I'm sure all the stories will come out. All the facts will come out eventually about the story, but sounds like there may have been, I don't know if mechanical or design flaws with these planes. So
it's a terrible, tragic story, and you don't want to make jokes about something like this at a time.
No,
it's,
not
it's
at
so
all.
So fresh and and so new to everybody. The I was looking at a story that is like talking about what his wife thought about him picking up the pilot's license, and she said that she was never really comfortable with him doing that. And to those were comments made like a year ago, and it's kind of haunting to hear to hear that come back and actually mean something now. Like, she wasn't comfortable with him doing it at the time.
Right.
It sucks.
Sure.
It's hard to make jokes about something like that, though.
Yeah, no, definitely. One of the things that stood out to me was just looking on Twitter, so many people just had nothing but great things to say, talking about how tragic it was. Players from all over Major League Baseball, other sports, people coming out talking about it, fans of all different teams. I think everybody kind of regarded him as just an all-around good guy. I don't really think there are a lot of people that had any dislike for Halladay. Even Reds fans, who again were on the wrong side of that postseason no hitter of his. Yeah. I think everyone just kind of saw this as what it was, a terrible tragedy, a great guy being taken too soon, and it sucks. But
like, take John Rocker, don't take
exactly, or Hefe.
with Roy Halladay, they were saying too that, I think it was Charlie Manuel they were talking to, he bought, after his perfect game, he bought 60 watches for everyone in the organization, basically saying, I forget what what was inscribed on the box, but it said something about, like, you were
rich, bitch.
Yeah, but it was essentially like, you were part of this. Like, this was happened because, like, it wasn't, he never took that perfect game in the postseason as, wow, I had the greatest game of my career, and I did something historic. I mean, he was, like you said, he was the ultimate team guy. Everyone in the league loved him. I can't remember. It was Roy Oswalt. There was somebody that was talking about when they met, the first time they met him. It was like 5:30 in the morning at spring training. And he was sitting there eating breakfast, just soaking wet. And the guy, I forget who it was another pitcher, walked up to him like, oh man, was it raining when you came in? And Roy Halladay just laughed. He was like, no, I just got done working out. He's like, and that's when I knew, like, he was the real deal, because it was 5:30. He had already finished his workout for the day. And he was just, the ultimate pro, it sounded like.
So he had the no-hitter against Cincinnati. He also threw a perfect game that same year, earlier in the season, which kind of happened the same week as Dallas Braden's perfect game. So they kind of, I think Halladay threw his first, and then Braden threw his, and he kind of got a lot of the attention away
Copycat
from,
league.
Yeah, exactly.
Because this was improbable, and everybody, I mean, Dallas
Braden. He got, I bet Dallas Braden didn't buy watches for everybody.
Yeah.
No, he just yelled at A-Rod instead.
Right, which is doing the Lord's work in a different way.
Yeah. And then tied his tie like a douchebag when he was on ESPN.
Everything that you hear about Roy is good, and you know the nickname Doc stuck with him when he was on the Blue Jays. Mm-hmm. I was always the Phillies when I played Witty and MLB The Show, and it would either be him or Cliff Lee that I would be when I was playing you.
And he never beat me.
Maybe once or twice.
I can't believe he was 40. It didn't feel like he was away from baseball.
Yeah, I thought the same thing. I didn't realize he was that old. I knew he was older for a pitcher by the time he had retired. But, yeah, I didn't realize he was 40
Like
either.
Max said, it feels like the perfect game. Or it might have been Witty. It feels like the perfect game wasn't that long ago.
Yeah, when he no-hit the Reds in the playoffs, it was 2007, yeah. I think. No, 2010.
It was a couple years ago.
It was 2010, yeah. So.
Man. Yep, October
6, 2010. I remember.
So crazy it's been.
That was very disappointing.
There was some destructive behavior in my apartment with me and Witty that night.
Yeah, I lost the Reds hat that night.
Yep.
Yeah.
My liver lost some. yes. I don't know. Like, I guess it died a little bit. I don't know what livers lose, but.
Yeah, but rough. Yeah, that's a tough story, and you know, thoughts and prayers out to his family. It's got to be a tough time for them. But like I said, the one bright spot in the story is just seeing all the people that he touched and all the positive words that people had to say about it.
Nice to see people touching other people in ways like that when you've got all the Harvey Weinstein stuff going on.
I knew you were going somewhere with that.
There's something in a little transition out of the baseball talk, and something that always cracks me up during the baseball season, especially during the trade deadline, is people getting traded mid-game. Mm-hmm. Especially when the teams are either in the same, like it's happened a couple times in recent years where the teams are playing each other and they just walk across and head on over. But in this instance, Matt Duchene, who has been on the, I guess he's not necessarily trading block. He's been wanting out of Colorado for a
couple
while
years
now.
Yeah.
And it's always been rumored that the Blue Jackets were a candidate to get him, and they'd put together some packages that looked good, but they were asking. Joe Sakic was asking for the world for Matt Duchene, which they ended up getting quite the haul in this trade. But Kyle Turris went to Nashville, and then Kyle Turris went from Ottawa to Nashville.
Mm-hmm.
And then I believe Nashville and Ottawa sent a ton of stuff back to Colorado.
Yeah.
But
they got a couple of good prospects, and then a first line
second
defenseman.
And third rounder for a backup winger.
Yep. Yeah.
But no, they Matt Duchene got traded mid game the other night, and in the manner that he left the bench almost not to raise suspicion was funny. And I know Witty saw this earlier than I did. I saw him going off, and I just assumed it was, you know, at the end of a period. But where he was playing, I don't know where they were playing, but it wasn't your typical ice arena where the exit to the locker room is right
behind
the benches.
Bench.
Yeah, you had to skate to the corner to go off.
Yep, and so they were skating off Blake Como,
who's a
former Blue Jacket Blake Como. He got hurt on a play, so they took him off the ice. And I saw
upper body, lower body injury.
Do we have mid-body details? Mid-body.
Nice.
So I saw a video online. It's just kind of funny to see. So they open up the doors for Como to go off, and he's got a trainer there. And Duchene just kind of slips in right behind him and walks right off, and and he just leaves. And I guess they told him at some point during the game he had gotten traded. And I don't – like, the way it was presented in some of, like, the headlines and tweets that I saw was, like, he snuck off the ice, like he's like, you know, fucking him out of here. But I think it was more like they told him, hey, you're traded, go on and get off the ice. And I think as an organization, they were like, all right, well, here's your chance to sneak out without raising suspicion. Yeah. I think they didn't want to like alert the media or get people all over it. So eventually people started recognizing that he wasn't on the bench anymore. And then when they saw him leaving the locker room in street clothes, they kind of put two and two together that the trade went down. But just seeing that video of him kind of sneaking off behind Como as he's coming off after injury was pretty funny to watch.
The one that always made me laugh was Jeff Samardzija, the All-Star game, when he wore, like, the generic hat. because he was a selection in the other league, but switched to the Athletics earlier in the month. Mm-hmm. So he's wearing like the generic All-Star 2000. I forget what year it was. Mm-hmm. It's just that one always cracked me up.
Like the ones you get at the gift shop or whatever, the pro shop that they don't actually wear for the games.
Yeah, but the mid-game trades are always funny to see. You don't really see it that typically in the NHL. I think it's been like, I think it's been 4 or 5 years since it's happened in the NHL. Mm-hmm. But it's always... because
come trade deadline, anyone that's being talked about being traded, they usually sit them that night.
Right, yep.
Which this trade must have happened quick because I can't imagine such a big trading piece would have been played knowing something was on the horizon. So
right.
Must have happened quick.
Yep.
Well, something else that happened quick is I'm quickly climbing the picks standings for our NFL picks this season. I'm on Hefe's tail.
You are. You're only one pick behind him.
This could be the week.
Hefe's still in first. He's 14-10 on the year. Max 13-11. And Witty and I are in the basement. I'm 11-13, and Witty's 8-16. Still batting .33.
Yep, I got that Hall of Fame average going.
Yeah. So we got a couple good game or a few good games lined up for you this week to pick. One interesting one that I don't know how it'll be after the Cowboys blew out the Chiefs, but they are going to Atlanta +3. Hefe, you're still in the lead. You have the honors.
I'm going to go Atlanta. I just think new stadium. Pissed off that they don't get Chick-fil-A. No, just kidding. I think Atlanta. Atlanta's tough at home. They always have been. So I'm going to go Atlanta.
I'm going Cowboys. After seeing them dominate the Chiefs, I think that they can put... Man, I really hope Zeke plays again this week.
It's up in the air.
Yeah, it sounds like he's going to. But I'm taking the Cowboys plus the points.
Yep. I as well. I've got the Cowboys +3. I think they win outright, but if they don't, it's going to be less than a field goal type of game.
Matt Ryan's had a really up and down season, and Julio Jones left the game last week with a lower body injury. They're saying it's something with his ankle, so I don't really know if he'll be playing up 100%. The Falcons are a weird team this year. They definitely have that Super Bowl hangover.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're hard to figure out.
Yeah, that being said, I'm going to go with the Falcons in this one, too. I think they put it together just enough to edge out the Cowboys by, I'd say, a touchdown. I think Matt Ryan will get out there and sling it around, and I'm going Falcons.
Next game we got lined up for you. Teddy Bridgewater is back, and the Vikings are minus a point and a half heading into Washington to play the Redskins.
I have no idea what Vegas is doing here because I had to look at this twice. I'm like, I can't believe this is what they're doing at home. I'm taking the Redskins, even giving up the point and a half. Bridgewater, I don't expect him to come and set the world on fire, I've never been a huge Teddy Bridgewater fan to begin with, so I don't think he makes that big of a difference.
No.
They've been getting great play out of Case Keenum anyway, so it's not like you're going to say all of a sudden, I think the Vikings with Case Keenum, with Teddy Bridgewater, with Sam Bradford, I still think they lose this game to the Redskins at home. The Redskins are probably what are they, 4-4 right now?
They're 4-4.
The Redskins are probably the best 4-4 team in the league right now, just because who else is, who are you thinking with?
I don't know.
They seem good, they're good, but they lose these weird games that just make no sense. And then they beat the Seahawks this week.
Yeah. The Vikings are a surprising 6-2.
Yeah. Yeah, the Vikings. It was just a matter of time before Mike Zimmer put it together up there.
Yeah. And Sam Bradford going to the IR was we kind of saw that coming.
Yeah.
And especially if Bridgewater comes off of it. I haven't heard. I know that Bridgewater was activated. I haven't heard if he's the starter or not.
I don't think they've said yet as we're recording this.
Yeah.
I'm gonna take the same thing as you, Mac. I'm doing Redskins plus a point and a half, playing at home, it's a good Vikings team, but
yeah.
I think the Redskins pull it out.
And I agree. I'm going Redskins. It's a hard game to pick because they both kind of have those letdown games every year.
And I think that's like why the spread's so close.
Because this really is
just a toss-up.
I mean, I would take the Vikings D, but you take a defense like Seattle that played the Redskins so tough at the beginning of that game, and it just didn't seem to matter. The Redskins bounced back, and I think Cousins is dealing right now, and with being at home, I'm going Skins too.
I don't think anything in the NFL makes sense to me, so I'm just going to go completely against my intuition, and I'm going to pick the Vikings. I don't have any real reason for it other than nothing I think happens, so I'm going to go the opposite. I'm going to fade myself.
That's smart.
That probably is smart. And yeah. Picking against us, it gives you some room to make up some That's ground.
Right. I got standings. Nowhere else to go but up.
And the last game, we always pick the our beloved Bengals. Heading into Tennessee this weekend, they are 4.5-point underdogs. I always pick with my heart, not my head, when it comes to the Bengals. That being said, I'm taking the Titans minus the 4.5. I think they're going to get absolutely crushed in this game.
Yeah, I've got to go with the Titans. I picked them to be my AFC Super Bowl team. They're still tracking to be a playoff team despite not being very good, so you never know.
That division, I think are the favorites in that division right now.
They'll
but
come back to earth, I would think. And
I would think so, too. I mean, they can't have Jalen Ramsey fighting everybody.
So, yeah, I went Titans as well. I think that the Titans are going to blow out the Bengals. The fact that, you know, the Bengals are, I mean, they've got Cedric Ogbuehi and Andre Smith as the two tackles now. Eric Winston's not expected to play, probably.
I was going
to
say, Winston's back.
He's there for safety, I believe, but I don't think he's expected to do the three-man rotation like they were doing. So,
yeah.
I mean, poor Andy. And I'm not going to try not to get off too much of a tangent here, but that O-line, not only are they bad, but they're just bad teammates. Because how many times do you see Andy get destroyed, and they're not even helping him up? They just, like, walk back. Like the one time when
You know it's because of his stance on the national anthem protest.
Andre let him get destroyed, and all Andre did was put his arms up in the air and walk back towards the huddle. It's like, no, you go help your quarterback off the ground. Like, that's what you do. You say you're sorry, you pat him on the head and say,
you fat fuck.
Yeah. And you can tell Andy's body language. He's sick of the offensive line, too.
Yeah.
I can't wait till Andy fights somebody this week.
That'd be awesome. Yeah.
That would be the greatest thing ever.
All right, Hefe, why are you picking the Bengals?
Now, I'm going to shock the world here. I'm a homer, but the Bengals are trash. Marvin's done. The team has taken on Marvin. I mean, they're just all Marvin Lewis. They just don't care. Mm-hmm. The offensive line's garbage. Dick LeBeau, they're going to get killed. That defense is going to eat them alive.
Which, how's Dick LeBeau still alive?
Dick LeBeau's going to took you 9 weeks to get to this point, Hefe.
I'm an optimist, and I love the Bengals, but I'm just so tired of Marvin Lewis.
What happened to that 9-7 wild card team?
They're the most talented roster in the NFL. Their offensive line is horrible, but there's teams in the NFL that have horrible offensive lines that are better than them. It's just, there's no excuse for it. They just need to move on and blow it up. It's ridiculous.
So, this is another one of those.
Why are you picking the Bengals, Witty?
So why are you picking the Bengals, Witty?
It's just a gut feeling. I think the Bengals somehow pull this out and win. I think this is the game that turns around the season. They're going to win this game, go on a 6-game winning streak that's going to put them at 9-5. They're going to lose their last two and just barely miss the playoffs at 9-7, but they're also going to get a shit draft pick out of it because that's the most Bengals things that they could do at this point, I think.
Very true. And Marvin gets they'll sign Marvin to a
extension. Just look how he finished the year, man.
Yep. It's getting hard to watch.
You're pissing me off just saying that.
Because he's right. It's just so fucked up. God.
There's people out there that are saying that Marvin Lewis is gone. I'll fucking believe it when I see it.
No.
There's no reason to think that he is. I mean, how is this year any different than last year?
Yeah. The writing's on the wall for it, but like you said, what?
Even when Marvin's,
Mike Brown going to do it?
Even once he's gone, I'm not going to believe he's gone until I see someone else on the sidelines. I feel like this is the type of situation where he'll get fired, the position will be vacant, and then they're going to be like, well, we re-interviewed him, and we think with the right staff, like he...
Yeah.
Like, this is the type of shit that happens with the Bengals. Like, or he'll be a retread, and, you know, 2 or 3 years down the road, he'll be out of football, and whoever they... Paul Gunther, or whoever the fuck they hire from
and
inside.
That's what
they like, don't need to do. They need to bring someone else in completely.
Jeff Fisher.
Hugh, man. Hugh's be looking for a new job soon.
It's going to drive me crazy because they're going to pull from inside the organization, and Gunther's not the answer. Zimmer might have been. Gruden's doing good. Vance Joseph will eventually be fine.
You fucking hated Jay Gruden when he was here.
I did.
That every time.
But he's doing all right. Like it Marvin's just
good fucking
such a
coach.
Yeah. Marvin's just, I'm done with him.
I've been done with him.
I am the always Bengals optimist, and I just can't do it anymore. It was such a shitty game last week.
The first step's admitting it.
Yeah.
I believe.
All right, FA. On the count of three, I'm going to need you to do your best Ric Flair woo for us. 1, 2, 3.
Woo!
That was trash.
Ric Flair, the man that bed over 10,000 women, had his own, which is absurd. Like, there's one, if you did, how would you know how many there were? Because you would lose
count.
Let's
do some sex math.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you've only got like two or three. Well, yeah. And never mind, I'm not going to get into the number of kids he has because that number has changed. But, that's Ric Flair recently. It's been all over ESPN. He had his 30 for 30, which I haven't gotten a chance to watch yet. It's on my DVR. I'm actually excited for it. I like Ric Flair. His daughter, Charlotte, is probably one of the best women wrestlers of all time, and she's still really early in her career. It's going to be a good one. I've heard that it was really well done, and it provides a lot of insight, not only to Ric Flair, but the business as a whole. I heard a lot of people were not thrilled that Undertaker was out of character for all of his interviews, and turns out Undertaker's, you know, a very nice, polite man, which you kind of knew anyway if you're not one of the people that buy into these people are the real people, but...
So I watched like the first 30 minutes of it, and I just now pulled up to the part where Undertaker's interviewing, and I was like, wait a second, that's Undertaker?
Yeah.
He looks completely different without the eyeliner, and, you know, he was wearing like a hat, and he just looked completely not like Undertaker in character, and I actually kind of like seeing behind the scenes stuff like that.
Yeah, I love that stuff.
I enjoy that out of character stuff.
And that's such an important piece for the WWE, and I know, you know, Max probably seen Beyond the Mat is one of the ones that was a famous documentary about, you know, Mankind was in it a lot, and seeing him out of character was huge for a lot of fans. They didn't like it at all. It's similar to what I would compare that documentary to.
And this is something.
Which one is his real life persona? It's Dude Love, right?
Yeah, it's Dude Cactus Jack.
Yeah.
No, and that's something that the WWE has kind of branched away from. They used to be everything stays in character. They never really openly admitted that anything was scripted. And they've gotten away from that, especially with their own network now. They have shows where it's, you know, interviews with the real person, not the characters. They have... One of the things I love watching is Ride Along, and
that's awesome.
It's basically the guys going from any of the superstars, man or woman. It's like they rent a car and they drive from one city to the next when they're, you know, on their, you know, their tour of that week, and it gives you insight. So that's why I'm excited for this 30 for 30, because you see a lot of the new superstars as real people now just through WWE's content. You don't really have that with the old stars that were brought back in for this Ric Flair 30 for 30, which I'm excited. I hate ESPN the only time I watch ESPN is live sports, but 30 for 30 is something that I always set time aside
for. They're always good, too.
Yeah, they do a good job.
Except for rotisserie baseball. That was terrible. The fantasy baseball one was trash.
Yeah.
That was not good. Yeah. Also, the one about, like, the Colts band. I could have done without.
That one had interesting parts to it, though.
Pulled up and left Baltimore for Indy. That all that stuff was entertaining. Mm-hmm.
The story itself. But so no one gives a fuck about the band.
In honor of the Ric Flair 30 for 30, we got talking, and we thought it'd be interesting for, you know, the Midland Sports to pull their brain power together and give maybe ESPN, throw ESPN a bone, and toss out some of our 30 for 30 ideas we'd like to see. I was lucky enough to draw the first pick, so I am going to go with one, and I don't know if this will get much play outside of Cincinnati. It might be something they would have to do just a, you know, local spot on, but I really want to know the inner dealings and how everything went down minute by minute on Brian Kelly's departure from UC.
Yeah, because that would be a good one.
The program was at an all-time high. They were in the Sugar Bowl playing against Urban Meyer and the Florida Gators. I mean, they were a bad call in that Texas game away from being in the national championship that year. I believe that time should have run out, but they gave Texas a shot to make the field goal. I forget how it happened, but I think it was Texas ended up making a field goal. Or whoever, however, if Texas was involved, I forget who it was, LSU, Texas. It would have been LSU. Whoever it was that Texas was playing. Mm-hmm. Something came down to the wire there, and if the game would have went the other way, UC would have been in the national title most likely. And they would have gotten blown out. But nonetheless, that was a big spot. So obviously Brian Kelly does what essentially has turned him into the person I hate the most in this world, and at the senior banquet basically dropped the bombshell, like, by the way, I'm out of here. Good luck at the Sugar Bowl. I'm leaving half of my staff to help you coach biggest game in school history. The rest of us are going off to Notre Dame. And that was such a shitty thing.
You can't blame the guy for taking the Notre Dame job. The way that he did it, fucking the school over like that, is what pisses everybody off.
If someone leaves in the, and I know, I mean, I like UC football. I understand that until they get into the Big 12 or ACC or whatever conference they hope to end up, or whatever gets formed by another conference folding somewhere, until they get into one of the quote-unquote Power Fives instead of calling themselves the Power Six, they're always going to be a stepping stone program. Like, I understand that. I don't necessarily hate the way Butch Jones left because, one, I didn't like Butch Jones. But, two, he didn't just abandon the team at the biggest point in their school history. And that's the thing. I don't know much about recruiting and stuff, but I don't know what the advantage to ripping Brian Kelly out of the program at that point was anyway. Why not just let him finish what he started? It wasn't like the playoff system where if they won, he's going to be around for another couple weeks and they can't get started. Like, I doubt that it was that necessary for him to just bail and not even be around for the Sugar Bowl. But
yeah,
that sucked. And no matter what, I mean, chances are you weren't going to beat Tim Tebow in his final college game, which I was at that game, and that was a lot of fun for the first quarter.
I imagine they got real miserable real fast. Yeah, and it was really... that was before Urban Meyer, you know, turned to the light side. He was on the dark side back then. That's when he faked all his hell stuff, and he was a douchebag. But I'm glad he got over that now, and he's a great coach now, great guy, and just a stand up model citizen.
So yeah, I don't know what I would name my Brian Kelly 30 for 30.
Brian Kelly's an asshole.
I was going to say, I don't know if ESPN could really...
it would be straightforward.
I don't know if cocksucker would fly on the FCC rules, but I don't know. We'd figure it out a way.
Yeah.
So I got the second pick. And I'm sure that all of you guys are like me. Back in the early 2000s, you saw the film A Night in Paris, which was Paris Hilton's sex tape.
Yeah.
Mine also takes place in the early 2000s, and it is One Night in Colorado, featuring Kobe Bryant. I am very interested to know what actually happened in that hotel suite that night. I don't necessarily want to actually see Kobe pounding away, But
yeah,
I would like to see interviews with the chick, and Kobe doesn't really talk about it anymore. He says that, it was all that he really says about it anymore is it was a big mistake and I wish it had never happened.
Yeah.
But he never brought out details, and he went to court for almost a year, fighting the charges until they got dropped. And I need more information for that, because that was during like a very formative time in my fandom for him.
Mm-hmm. That was the night that number 8 died.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It really was. Like, I remember, my cousin would always make fun of me and my brother. My brother's a big KG fan. And, he'd always be like, oh, did you hear KG broke his leg last night in warm-ups? He's not playing anymore for the rest of the season. And he came over and he was like, did you hear Kobe got arrested last night? And I was like, no, he fucking didn't. Yeah. Like, you're full of shit. And then I got on, I think it was a newspaper at the time. And I saw that
in your Yahoo chat room you're in.
His mugshot. Yeah. And I died a little bit. I was like, oh my God, yeah. He's a real person.
It's like when Krusty got arrested.
Exactly.
Bart Simpson, man.
So I need more details of what actually happened in that one night in Colorado.
With my first pick, I'm also going with a Mamba, and that's the White Mamba. I want a story of the story of Brian Scalabrine. We went and watched him in the Big Three show in Indy, and I just couldn't stop laughing every time he was on the court. And I just want to, a kind of a day in the life of Scalabrine in the NBA, just kind of chilling, sitting there, waiting to get his time in the Celtics games. I just think that would be, because I think he's a funny guy too.
Yeah.
So I think it would be kind of a funny behind the scenes.
I'd watch it.
Yep. So mine is kind of, it's an interesting thing that we kind of got to witness a little bit of what it would be like to have a 30 for a 30 for this, just thanks to the social media era. I know, kind of to have something to compare it to, back in the when the whole O.J. Simpson thing was going on. I mean, obviously you had all the news cameras and everything, so you could follow it as it went along. But it's nothing like you can see things unfold on social media like today. If social media was around back when O.J. happened, it would just be blowing up like crazy. And that's kind of what happened with this particular incident. It was something that really it captivated the country. And, people everywhere were just kind of taken over by this. And it was really crazy seeing it unfold. So my 30 for 30 is the day that Andy Dalton lost his luggage. I'd really like to see, what he was thinking, kind of get interviews with him and with JJ and JJ, right? Jen? JJ?
Yeah.
They call it, yeah.
Jordan.
Jordan, yeah, but yeah. She goes by JJ, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Hey, JJ.
Yeah. So I just look, because, it was a pretty big story, and it, maybe not around the country, but it certainly captivated the city of Cincinnati for a while, so... It's a story that I think needs to be told, and it needs to be told in the right way. So I think the only way to do that is 30 for 30.
That's perfect. I like that.
So my next one, I think this is something that this group of people, they need to be memorialized somehow. I think it's hard to, I guess, really define class without mentioning this group of people. But the best fans in baseball, they need their own 30 for 30 because St. Louis Cardinals fans are just a different breed of people. And I'd like to see them documented. I'd like to see them studied. I want to know what goes on in their heads. Why do they think the way they think? And why do they say the things they say? And if anybody follows the Twitter account Best Fans in Baseball, it's pretty damn entertaining how just blatantly offensive and oblivious they are to a lot of things.
Delusional.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, I often say, anytime somebody complains about a fan base, they're really, mad at probably, 2% of that fan base that just is not representative of what that fan base is as a whole. Like, as a Buckeyes fan, I hear that a lot. Like, I hate Buckeyes fans, but I would like to think that most Buckeyes fans aren't that bad. But I honestly 100% think that this is how all Cardinals fans are. I just, I think they're the worst group of people out there. So yeah. I'd like to see a 30 for 30 about them.
That's good.
Could be the same title as Max.
Only no, that's it'll be called Best Fans in Baseball. There's no, yeah. The Cardinal Way.
That's a good one. With my second pick, I am going, because it's one of my favorite Always Sunny episodes, I want the true story from the man himself of the Wade Boggs cross-country trip, as told by Wade Boggs. You know, get it out there, you know, what really happened. You know, just the first-person account.
He'd be rolling over in his grave right now to hear you say that.
I was wondering you would say that.
Whatever, Boss Hog.
Boss Hog.
Wade Boggs is very much alive. He lives in Tampa, Florida.
Go down to Tampa and we'll just get the real account of what happened from Wade himself and see what he has to say about it.
I don't know if there is a 30 for 30 out there about this particular person or not. There might be.
There is.
There legitimately might be. But I would like to see a 30 for 30 about Tiger Woods' fall from grace, where it kind of details, you know, his 10-year rise, where he was just on the top of the golf world, and then everything just kind of spirals out of control, and it ends with him in a ditch somewhere.
Honestly,
without Lindsey Vonn.
Out of all the ones we've talked about so far, I think that's when it's probably going to happen at some point.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Yeah, I think that it will too. And there's still, you know, there's still that maybe 0.01% chance that he becomes a legitimate decent golfer again. But I would go with the 99.99 that it probably won't happen as much as maybe even Mac wants it to now.
Oh, until Tiger Woods is buried, I'm going to think that he's going to win another major.
Yeah. Even when he's, you know, all the money's going on him when it's 5,000 to 1 odds.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, I could definitely... I actually think that... And there might be a 30 for 30 out there already on him.
I'm not aware of one.
I don't think there is yet.
Okay.
That's something that I think will be really good. And the new Tiger seems to be a lot more open about his life, too. So I think that'll be really good if you can get him talking.
If you can get him candid, you know, kind of how Ric Flair set up for this, where he is not in Tiger Woods mode, where he's just like, yeah, I had a good day on the course.
Yeah.
You know, I was hitting my 5-wood good.
Yep. No, I think that'll be good.
Get him,
All right.
To open up and not be in Navy SEAL mode.
Yeah.
Okay, so this one needs to happen. I thought about maybe doing the Nasty Boys, but MLB Network did one on the Nasty Boys, and it was really well done. So, and this is more, I've heard all the stories told from my dad and anyone that was around during this time. My dad was pretty young during this time, but relatively young. But I want to see a 30 for 30 on the Big Red Machine, because I think baseball purists and people in Cincinnati realize how special that group of guys was.
Mm-hmm.
But nobody else really truly appreciates them they literally were an all-star team. They all 8 of their position players were, I think they had 7 out of 9 the one year.
Yeah.
Yep.
I think, or 7 out of the 9 starters in the NL were Reds that one year. And they were good for a long time. It wasn't just, you know, the 75 and 76 year. There was a stretch there where they were dominant for a long time.
Mm-hmm. The majority of the players played together because it was really before like big time free agency, you know, so a lot of the guys played together for 9-10 years.
Yep. Yeah. It wasn't, it wasn't a rotation of, you know, your main two starters and then whatever three guys are rotating through either through, you know, free agency or getting called up or nowadays where, you know, the Reds for the most part recently have had their staple of, you know, 3 or 4 guys in the field, but I'm a little more so than a couple years ago, but there's always that rotation of that random guy playing right field or left field or, you know, the whoever's going to play shortstop when Kozar gets hurt type of deal, which we won't have that anymore, I don't think, it sounds like. But But I think the Big Red Machine would be a great 30 for 30, and I think it could be really well done. Because, and all those guys are getting older, so if they're going to do it, they need to do it soon, because it's sad to say, but a lot of them aren't going to be around a whole lot longer. And
nope.
I think that's something Pete Rose said at his last one at the Reds weekend when he got his statue was, or maybe it was Joe Morgan that was saying, or Johnny Bench. One of the guys was saying, you know, every time we get together, it's, you know, you got to cherish it because you don't know how many more times they're going to have like that. Because
that was sad.
Everybody's pretty old. It's mm-hmm. crazy to think of.
Wait, did Joe Morgan play baseball? I don't think I've ever heard him talk about it before.
No, I don't think so.
I thought he just sold cars.
Yeah.
He sold cars and was, awkward on ESPN Sunday Night Baseball there for a while.
Yeah.
Did they do a wire-to-wire one at all for the wire-to-wire year?
I don't think they not so. A 30
I'd
for watch 30.
That would be a... I hope I'm not stealing anybody's idea, but that would be kind of a cool another Reds one.
There is a documentary out there about it, but
I know there's. I was gonna say I know there's a documentary, but I couldn't think it was a 30
for
30.
Not 30 for 30.
But that would be a cool one too.
This one, my last one. This is one that'll be a while down the road because I think the wounds will need to heal, and I think it'll be after both guys have probably are on the back nine of their own careers. But I used to listen to this show pretty regularly. I stopped listening to them a long time ago because I just couldn't handle Mike Greenberg anymore. But I want to know about the fallout of Mike and Mike and how that actually happened.
Yeah.
Because you hear different stories. I know recently they've been back on together again. There for a while when the split was announced, they were never on at the same time.
Yeah,
I've seen them on TV or I've seen recaps of their show recently where they were on at the same time and they seem cordial, but you never know. I mean, that's
they're
professionals, so they might.
Yeah, when that camera turns on, they're different people.
Yeah, and do they really hate each other's guts or was it just one of those deals where they both were like, "Hey, our careers are going different ways."
Yeah,
Greenberg wants to do more of a TV thing with his talk show type of stuff. Golic, obviously, is good. I like Golic. I never dislike Golic. But Greenberg is hard to handle sometimes.
Yeah. And from what I hear, so I think Greenberg's TV show actually got pushed back until April.
Yeah.
It was supposed to go around the first of the year in January, and it's getting pushed back 4 weeks. I have no interest in watching a Mike Greenberg's based show.
He drove me nuts.
Because the whole, I find him annoying, first of all.
Yeah.
And he plays the, I'm not an athlete, I'm a journalist card way too often. That's the original chemistry that he and Mike had together was that Mike was the jock that played football and Greenberg was the guy that, did everything else in life. He went to school, did the journalism stuff, but that shtick gets old when they constantly try and push it. And I think that's why their chemistry eventually died on air together because you get sick of it.
Yep.
It's like the weenie greenie.
Yeah, I just hope for Greenie's sake that one of his colleagues never said anything mean about Sam Ponder because I don't want his show to come crashing down here soon.
There's some high expectations for him too, because I think ESPN's really counting on his morning show to be successful. I don't know a single person that likes Greenie.
No.
It may just be our generation.
Yeah.
But
I think parents, older parents, people that don't know much about sports like him, I've heard them he's the safe. I've heard that, I've heard him say I forget who it was that described him as
he wants to be Bob Costas so bad.
Yeah, he's the soccer mom's dream as far as like being on sports, but not so sports driven that it's just stuff that a true sports fan wouldn't. It doesn't go over the top of their head, type of deal. But there was talk of him of possibly Good Morning America type of gig at one point and all this other stuff. They got a lot of money put into Greeny, and like you said, for a guy that nobody seems to like. So,
and I do think you're right. It's got to be the older generation, the older parents that him, because
the people that
I don't think anyone our age does.
The people that aren't plugged in and don't want all the you know, the nonstop like sports in-depth talk that mm-hmm. you know you get from most of the other TV shows.
Right.
He's just kind of facilitating a conversation with sports as a light background.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to pick between my last couple. And I think I'm going to go with one. It's a hypothetical right now because it's just conclusions I've drawn in my head. But in 20 years, I want to see a documentary. I want to see a 30 for 30 about how Coach Cal had to vacate all of his wins at Kentucky.
I knew that was coming.
Because of recruiting violations and, you know, just all the money that he's paid players to go to his school.
Yeah.
It happens at every school, but it kind of seems like for whatever reason, he gets all of the big recruits. I don't know why. It's in fucking Lexington. No one wants to live in Lexington for a year. I really do think that he's going to have recruiting violations at UK. He did it at his previous two schools, yeah. And I'd be interested to see a 30 for 30 on those violations and, you know, how he is banned from the Basketball Hall of Fame now.
That's a good one.
I'm walking the fine line of sports with my last pick, but I'm going to go kind of off of what Mac was saying. I'm going to go with a falling out story. It's probably going to be one that's going to make me cry. I want the 30 for 30 on the fallout of Robin Big. You know, skateboarder, best friendship. I want the falling out story of that. I know a lot of what happened, you know, just based off of interviews, but I want to see like the whole story of, you know, the ups and downs of Robin Big. I think that would be.
Mm-hmm. I think they ended up being cool with each other, you know, at the end.
Yeah.
I think Deirdrick just got a little, you know, a little too big for his britches when it comes to the ego.
Yeah. Maybe when he's a little bit more mature, a couple of years, he might admit to some of the wrongdoings, and I just think it could be an interesting one.
All right, so wrapping up the fantasy draft, I think it's kind of hard to do a full 30 for 30 around a single event or like one specific game, but I think this, if anything, warrants it. I'd like to see the 30 for 30 behind David Wells' perfect game that he pitched drunk.
Yeah,
because that's a hell of a feat, and I think you could get into more of the day-to-day stuff that David Wells did, because I'm sure that's not the first time he had pitched drunk, and I don't know enough about his backstory to know how frequent of a thing this was, if it was like a Josh Gordon type of deal where he was always on something out there, or if it was,
Man, that's a name I haven't heard in a while.
Yeah, I know.
How did that professional bowler pitch a perfect game?
Yeah, exactly. I know. It gives me hope that I can still accomplish things in my life.
All right. So I had a couple honorable mentions.
These will be the shorts, like 30 for 30 presents.
Yeah, 30 for 30 presents, yeah. Showtime kind of already did this, I guess, leading up to it. Mayweather, McGregor.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that would be a good 30 for 30 just on the behind the scenes, how it came together.
Yeah. Yep.
All the negotiations that took place before they actually came public with it. One, I'm sure that we'll see the rise and fall of Johnny Football.
Yeah.
I'm sure that we'll see that soon enough, too. And then this one's a little... This we'll probably see this soon, and maybe. Who knows? The behind the scenes on the failed Bengals and Browns trade for AJ McCarron.
Yeah.
I don't know. We might need some time, because apparently it doesn't sound like the Browns even really know what happened still. So.
Yeah. I had just the Browns as one of my honorable mentions. Just the whole story of the Browns organization.
Yeah.
Would just be funny to watch for me, because I take I like watching the Browns fail. So one of my other ones I had was Tebow's major league run, I think would be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Not over yet.
It's not over yet, so.
Yeah, no, I know. It's in this future. I think it'd be interesting to see how that all came.
World Series MVP.
Yeah. And the Rick Pitino stuff was my last one.
Yeah, like, that actually might become one, too.
Yeah. 15 seconds.
I was going to say
story.
Yeah.
So The main one that I wanted to throw out there as an honorable mention is Joey Votto's Wasted Greatness, because I really think that they could make a documentary about how he put up all these fucking MVP numbers for a team that is garbage.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope that they turn it around here soon and don't waste more of his prime, because there's probably not too many years left of it.
Nope.
I had a handful of honorable mentions. One of them was Frank the Tank, Frank Solich, the night that he was found.
The truth.
Passed out behind the wheel in Athens. You know, can't say I blame him. His claim was that he was drugged, but I'd like to see the true story behind that.
The true story is he's a 145-pound man that was at the bars.
Yeah,
that's the true story.
Couple margaritas. Yeah.
Marg night.
There's the time that I played our friend Bone in MLB The Show, and I was a AAA team, and he was the Red Sox, and I beat him. So that was a pretty epic story. If you're listening to this, suck it, Bone. And this one, I didn't mention it because I didn't have all the facts on it or not yet. I think this happened, and DB, you'll have to correct me, but wasn't there a time that you caught two foul balls at a baseball game? Or is it just one?
I caught one.
Damn it. Okay, well, that's not 30 for 30 worthy, so cut that.
One time at OU, I caught two of the field goals that they used to let go into the, you know, the hill.
We'll let that be the 30 for 30 then. Right. Another one.
Damn net.
Yeah, I know. SMH. The U Part 3. I want to see that one when it comes out.
That one. It's going to be good.
Yep. And then my last one is just the meteoric rise and then the spectacular fall of Mill Iron Sports.
Where are we at right now on that? I think we might be on the downward.
We haven't even started, baby.
Yeah, that's right.
I can't believe no one said the Ball family.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like that's a 30 for 30 that's just playing out for us every day already.
Yeah. Yeah, we already have enough coverage of that.
I don't know that they could. Yeah, I don't know that they could give enough to be like, oh, that surprises me.
So we like to end our shows with what we're looking forward to for this sports weekend, and it doesn't even necessarily have to be sports. It's just, you know, you're getting to know the Miller and sports guys, and we like to tell you what we're up to in our lives this weekend. For me personally, I am really looking forward to the NCAA basketball getting kicked off.
Mm-hmm.
The number 12 UC Bearcats play Savannah State at noon on Friday.
Hey-o.
Tipping off I think Friday is one of those 24 hours of basketball deals where they just have basketball on ESPN constantly with the NCAA tipping off all over the country.
Last year, and DB, you'll be in the same boat right now. Last year, that played out perfectly because it was in the first month or two where it was like when our daughter was home from the, like, you know, in the first month or two where you were up pretty much throughout the night anyway.
Yeah.
I just remember sitting there watching basketball all night long, and it was incredible. I mean, I didn't mind being up all night that time.
Yeah, since it's a Friday too, I'll be on dad duty that night.
I think it was during the week one year when I was like,
yeah.
I remember watching a game before I went into work at like 6:30 in the morning the one time.
For the Bearcats preview, go check out the Miller and Sports website. There's a blog that posted last night with highlights from last year's team and some stuff for the upcoming future guys that I really think are going to be big. I think Jaron Cumberland and Jacob Evans are going to be studs. And there's some Kenyon highlights on there too. Not to blow it for you, but Kenyon Martin Jr. is going to be a stud.
Yep.
Let me just throw that out there. What are you looking forward to, Hefe?
I've caught flack the last couple weeks. I am actually going to, for real, hang my Christmas lights this weekend. It's time.
Not time.
It's getting colder out. I'm on my third box of Christmas Crunch Berries, so I'm feeling this. I've got the spirit.
That just made you a green shit.
I don't think that's the spirit that you've got. I think it's diabetes. You're eating that much Crunch Berries.
I'm gonna put up the Christmas lights this weekend though.
A little peek into my hell. Before we started the show here, I went down and got some water, and my wife was listening to Christmas music.
Mm. She's a smart woman. We've been over this.
No.
That Christmas tree will be up in the DB household this weekend.
I will admit,
I hope not.
I will admit, with the, all the Hallmark Christmas movies that are on all the time right now, every now and then when we've got nothing else to watch, we'll put one on and try to guess the plot as it goes along. And I'm not going to lie. I seriously, like, I'm going to say 4 out of 5 times I nail it. Like, I've got the formula down right. I can tell right away. Like, and it's pretty basic. It's, oh, like, I came from this small town. Now I'm in New York, but I'm going back home for the first time in 10 years. Oh, what? This guy that I never paid attention to is now, like, this stud in our, my hometown? Like, maybe I'll find love if I stay here and find the true meaning of Christmas. I don't need the big city.
That's pretty much it. Does Just Friends with Ryan Reynolds count as a Christmas movie?
My wife and I were literally talking about this, like, 2 nights ago. I was like, Just Friends is just a shitty holiday movie from Hallmark Channel with star power. Like, that's that's essentially what it is. Because it's the same
Ryan Reynolds and Anna Faris.
Yeah, exactly. I'm looking forward to Catholics vs. Convicts. This is a game that got a lot of hype. I guess probably in the 90s is when it was. And this year, Notre Dame, Miami, there's a hell of a lot more riding on it than previous years that they've met up. And they don't meet up that often, but this year it's a big deal. It's a big game. It could make or break both of their seasons.
This one might make it into the U Part 3.
Exactly. And I'm glad to piggyback off of that 30 for 30 on your honorable mentions. But I'm excited for the game.
I have a turnover chain at my house.
You do?
I was going to say, turnover chain, cool.
Every time I eat a delicious pastry, I just throw on a big chain.
Nice. I like it.
And we rib on Hefe a little bit for celebrating holidays early, but Whitty and I will be at a Thanksgiving celebration. So I fully anticipate watching that game on a full stomach and falling asleep by halftime. But I'll be excited for it. So that first half, I'll be excited to watch that game. And with it being in Miami, I think it's in Miami this year. I don't remember. I think it's in Miami. I don't know where that's at. Either way, Notre Dame under the lights. I always like watching them under the lights. I typically watch them to root for Brian Kelly to lose. When Brian Kelly's gone, I'll probably, you know, hope for the best for them again. But until then, you know, I'm on the used train right now.
It should be a good game with Notre Dame fighting for a playoff spot and Miami. I've heard they're back.
Yep, they are back.
All right, so what I'm looking forward to, it goes along with one of my 30 for 30s. I'm kind of a big fan of hating particular fan bases. And there's one fan base in particular, probably besides Cardinals fans, that I just despise. The people where it doesn't so much go, I hate this team too, but my hatred is much more towards the fans with this team. And that's the Detroit Red Wings. So the Blue Jackets play the Red Wings for the first time this year. And I really hope that the Blue Jackets just lay it on them.
Yep.
I think last year, was it last year or the year before, was the first time in a while where they actually like dominated the Red Wings in the season series. So I can't stand Red Wings fans. So I'm looking forward to the Blue Jackets just
Hockey
destroying
town,
them. Yeah, fuck them. I think one of the most telling stories about a Red Wings fan is when Mac and I were at a Blue Jackets Red Wings game in Columbus, and Mac was coming back from the restroom, and he did that kind of he was walking out as a Red Wings fan was coming in, and kind of did that awkward like, oh, I'm gonna go right left kind of dance where like you keep stepping in front of each other, and I think Mac laughed it off. I was like, oh, you know, sorry, excuse me. And you said the guy just looked at you and was like, hey, fuck you, buddy, and just, like, walked on by it. It's like, what the hell, man? Like, but that's
Detroit
for you. They are trash, and I hate them, so go Jackets. Yep.
I believe that actually fell on St. Patty's Day, too, because I remember they were throwing, like, the beads. The shamrocks on the ice.
Yeah.
They're a classy bunch up there.
Yeah.
So fuck you, Detroit.
Yep. Welcome to motherfucking Detroit.
Well, if you're not from Detroit or St. Louis, be sure to check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/MillIronSports. You can follow us along on Twitter. The main account is at MillIronSports, and the bio for that has all of our individual Twitter accounts to follow. Be sure to hit subscribe on the podcast. Give us some reviews. Thanks to Witty, we're now on Stitcher and Google Play, whatever those are. I don't know. because I'm not.
Someone has to listen to him.
I've got an iPhone. I'm not a loser, so
We make good life decisions, but
yeah,
not everyone does.
Stitcher sounds like an emo site. Yeah. It just sounds weird.
I mean, sure, I can't swap out my battery when it starts to suck, but you know. And I have that weird eye thing going. With
yeah, but
the,
you know what? When our batteries start to suck, we have enough money to buy new ones.
Yep. Buy new phones. So.
Yeah.
We're paying for Steve Jobs' private island that he's hiding out on right now.
Yeah.
So,
and the Tupac.
Yeah. That's right.
And Biggie.
And, yeah, and then, did I miss out on anything else? Check out the website. Check out DB's blog on the upcoming Cincinnati Bearcats season and some highlights from the past that should get you geared up for that, that epic showdown against Savannah State.
DB's our featured blogger this week, so and check us out next week. We'll have a blog from another one of our bloggers up there.
Maybe. If not, it'll be Witty by default, just for his wake up from Witty. His Saturday, his recurring Saturday blog, if you
that
catch posts
on Sunday evenings, yeah.
As always, just leave us a review. Tell us what you like, what you don't like.
Wait, did the Buckeyes play this week?
Thanks for listening.